women are just as likely to get tuberculosis as men, contrary to what's generally assumed. This finding from Peru was revealed at the American Society of Tropical Medicine and Hygiene annual meeting held in Washington, D.C. During a busy poster session at the conference, I asked Carlton Evans for more on this and also about his group's findings on the importance of women's rights and human rights generally in overcoming TB.
Tuberculosis is the archetypal disease of poverty. It's an infectious disease that kills more people than any other single infection, and it principally affects poor people in the poorest countries. Anyone can get tuberculosis, but it's far more common in the most disadvantaged, socioeconomically disadvantaged communities in the world.
Now, you're presenting a poster here, and it's always been assumed that women had less TB than men. Now, that, in fact, isn't the case.
That's absolutely right. So in most of the world, including Peru, there's a lot more tuberculosis diagnosed and treated in men than in women. And there are various explanations given for that. Many people believe that that women are innately more resistant to tuberculosis and actually do get less tuberculosis than men. But in research that was led by Dr. Dami Onifade and Julian Surrey, they tested the screening of thousands of people for tuberculosis. And what they found was that when you actively screen people for tuberculosis, you actually find slightly more tuberculosis in women than in men. That is to say that when the TB program is left to diagnose patients who arrive at the health clinic asking for testing, then there's much less TB in women. But when we actually test people actively, we find there's more TB in women. So TB is being underdiagnosed in women in much of the world, I think, definitely in Peru.
Why is there this paradox that we generally think that it's more prevalent in men?
Well, Dr. Onifade set out to investigate that very question. And we were rather expecting to find some sort of discrimination within healthcare provision. And to our surprise, that wasn't the case at all. The tuberculosis program in Peru takes great pride in actively seeking women and attracting women for testing for tuberculosis and providing admirably egalitarian care. Rather, the problem is a community-based one. Almost everyone we spoke to in the shanty towns where this work took place aired the view that female health was inherently less important than male health because of the predominant male role in earning money for families. So this was a deep-rooted community problem rather than a healthcare provision problem.
What, then, can be done about this?
Well, the obvious primary opportunities are for education to try to correct this injustice that leaves the health of women undervalued and under-prioritized by the very shantytown communities most in need.
You were just speaking also at a session on human rights here at the meeting in Washington, D.C. Does this form part of the overall issue that lacking human rights, and women in particular in this case, is a cause of TB?
It is a real challenge to tuberculosis control, and it's a very complex problem. We've come across many instances of women thrown out of the home when they're diagnosed with tuberculosis because of the stigma associated with this disease, and many more instances of women who feel the need to keep their diagnosis and treatment a secret from the rest of their family because they're in fear of being thrown out of the home, or even worse, if their disease is discovered. And when their treatment involves regular attendances at the health post to obtain their pills, obviously the stigma and secrecy associated with their diagnosis makes it extremely difficult for them to complete the treatment that's required to cure them.
Because of the fact that TB is a disease of poverty, there are inherent difficulties in getting it diagnosed and in getting it treated, but you've been referring to some simple methods. First of all, there are new diagnostic methods available. Also, oddly, some of the older hospitals, typical hospital rooms with high windows and lots of ventilation, turn out to be a lot better.
So first of all, the diagnostics. We've been working for several years trying to develop very simple TB diagnostic tests which don't require chemicals or skilled laboratory technicians or biosafety cabinets, that can basically be done in even the simplest laboratories and just change colour if a patient has tuberculosis. That's very, very exciting research. It's ongoing research, which so far is providing extremely encouraging results, offering multi-drug-resistant TB and extensively drug-resistant TB testing in very simple laboratories which currently can only provide microscopy testing. The work on infection control is also very important, suggesting that just by opening windows and doors, we can considerably increase natural ventilation and considerably decrease the risk that one patient will infect the people around them. And finally, we have a large ongoing trial funded by the Civil Society Challenge Fund of DFID, trying to harness together poverty reduction interventions with microcredit, microenterprise, training for work, to try to add force and impetus to advocacy work to help patients to realize their health rights, to complete their treatment, and for their families to complete diagnostic testing and preventive therapy, to try to improve tuberculosis control for the very poorest, most marginalized communities.
Now, it's also a bit ironic that some of the standard methods of treating TB and indeed going on to diagnose drug-resistant TB could actually be causing this form of the disease to increase, multi-drug resistant disease, because you mentioned in your talk that in fact it's normal to give people ordinary treatment for TB before you then go on to treat them for the drug resistant type.
Traditionally, in most countries, patients have to survive failing many months of the wrong treatment before they even qualify to get a test for multi-drug resistant TB. And there's very clear research now to show that this is simply an incorrect, inappropriate and inhumane policy in settings where there's a lot of multi-drug resistant TB. In settings where multi-drug resistant TB is common, we need to test all patients at the outset of treatment or before with a rapid test for MDR-TB so we can give the right treatment for MDR-TB to the patients with MDR-TB, because with the right treatment, they become rapidly non-infectious and gradually become cured of their disease. If we give them the wrong treatment, they remain infectious, they suffer unnecessarily, they run the risk of death, and also they run the risk of infecting the people around them with the multi-drug resistant TB that they're getting the wrong treatment for, including the other patients and staff in the TB treatment clinics that they're attending. So we run the risk, if we give the wrong treatment to these patients, of turning treatment centres into centres for the dissemination of MDR-TB. We must improve infection control and we must make rapid tests for MDR-TB more widely available.
All of these issues are made all the worse because the settings are resource poor. So I wonder what kind of overall message, a brief take-home message, you'd give to people working in resource-poor settings for what should be the big priorities for actually tackling this immense problem.
Three things. We obviously need more resources. I think we also need better low-technology, low-cost tests, which are appropriate to the very basic settings where most of these diseases of poverty are most common. And finally, I think it's very important that we harness together our TB control efforts, our public health priorities, with the priorities of the patients who we're trying to help, which usually are much more related to their hunger, their poverty, and their socioeconomic situation, by offering socioeconomic support together with the treatment that we want patients to take. Then we greatly increase the chance that patients will access and complete the treatment that we'd like them to take and we think that they need.
Professor Carlton Evans of the Universidad Peruana Cayetana Heredia in Lima, Peru, and the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine. He was talking to me at the American Society of Tropical Medicine and Hygiene annual meeting being held here in Washington, D.C. For Audio News from the London School of Hygiene, I'm Peter Goodwin.